G'day guys, my name is Logan. I'm going to present with a fellow colleague of mine called Sudesh. I'll predominantly cover off SQL 2016 and the new features that are on there. We've done the SQL on Azure for SAP before. So this is more going to be around what's new in SQL 2016 and what's the benefits of it. And then also Sudesh will cover off Microsoft's offering on the HANA side. Firstly, I want to apologize for my voice. I lost it this morning. I've got sick kids at home, and it's like an infection house at the moment. So we all live in segregated areas for every bloody child at the moment. So it's awful. Let me start. So as I said, SQL Server on 2016, I'm going to cover off some of the business problems that we've had, why one or two of our customers have gone down this path, and then also a technical overview between the various systems that you can put together, hybrid versus non-hybrid, etc. So Desh will cover off what SAP HANA is, and if you're a SAP person, you don't know what SAP HANA is at the moment, I suggest you just go on the SAP website. There's lots there too about it. The challenges, the technical delivery, and then some key points that he wants to cover off. Sujesh just came back from the UK and Europe, where he's done quite a few HANA implementations to some big customers, and we've been lucky enough to steal him back from the UK with Brexit and all that. They just got rid of him. SQL 2016 on Azure. Microsoft approached us a few months ago, just before SQL 2016 was publicly available, and asked us, can we please nominate a customer and do some trial runs on SQL 2016 to see what the benefits would be, benchmark it, test it, all those types of things that goes together. And the initial thought was to put it onto on-premise hardware. The reality of it all was, as most of you would know, when you go to the business and says, I want more hardware, they usually go no, because there's a 6 month turnaround, there's hardware cost, there's depreciation, there's lots of finance numbers and all sorts of stuff that goes with it. So it was completely out of the question for us. And with our relationships that we've had currently with Microsoft, we've managed to secure some VMs that they were going to give us for a reduced price so we can test for them and do everything else with it. So, as I just said, one of the major business problems we had for any of our customers is just simply the quick turnaround and hardware cost. It's not uncommon for us when we trial something new to wait 6 months, and by the time it's finished waiting, the new version has come out. I don't have time till 2017 and 2018 to get the new version of 2016 going. I need it right now. Future-proof the environment. One of the things that some of our customers seem to deal with quite a bit at the moment is around SANs and hardware progression. We seem to have a lot of issues, or every time we do an EHP upgrade or an SPS upgrade, our customers come back and says the performance is either slower, or we have to do tuning, or we have to do all sorts of things that is related to that niggly hardware-y type of concept. And it becomes more and more of a divide between your software people and your hardware people, where the hardware people turns around and says, there's nothing wrong with my hardware, my SAN's performing exactly the way I want it to, therefore it must be your software. And the software guys goes, no, it's your hardware, you're the guys that have the problem. And it causes a bit of a riff in most companies in any case. So One of the big things that we also have with that is you've got your infrastructure guys turning around and saying to you, but you're only using 15% of the machine. Your machine's only busy 3 hours a day. It's not busy all the time. Why am I giving you so many resources? And that's exactly where our Azure side came in really handy. We can scale it down to a very small machine, or the smallest that is supported, and scale it back up again, which is exactly what you want. So it's pretty much like a tap. I can turn on and turn off at any time. It's great for my development environment, because developers don't work on weekends and Sundays and every night till the next morning and then stay the next morning. And they tend to work a set shift. So for most of our customers, what we've done is we've worked out when is their most busiest peak and off-peak times. We've got a nice map for that, and we turn those machines on and off. If the developer needs a machine at 3 in the morning for whatever reason, and I've never had that, they simply flick a switch and it's back up again. Takes them about roughly about 15 minutes to start up an entire environment. That's a full dev environment, portal, etc, BI, the whole works, and it's back up again in 15 minutes, and they can do whatever they want to, and when they finish, it just shuts down and goes away from it. From a cost-saving perspective, I can tell you right now, one of our larger customers, their development environment was costing them anything from around 120 to about 140,000 a year to run. That's lights, power, hardware, resources, everything else with it. Utilization of the system was only at 40%. So that's 40% of the time someone was actually physically on those machines. They've gone to Azure. Their costs are now down to 15,000 a year. That's a massive saving for them. Now, I should put in hindsight is that what has actually happened is they are end of project, which means is the software development that happens for the environment are all maintenance related. They haven't had huge amount of maintenance releases. They are ramping up again, and we expect the cost to go up to roughly about 40 to 50,000 in cost for the year. So that's a huge saving. From 140 to 50,000, that's a huge saving. Now, as of today, there's a couple of things that you need to go and look for when you do your sizing. SAP has worked very hard with Microsoft to make it as difficult as possible for everyone else, because that's what they do. And they've got some guides on it. I would suggest using that SAPNA that I've got in there. If you want, you can download the don't have to write anything down, you can get the slides afterwards. The minimum VM size for production is an A5. The G and the D series has some restrictions. So for those of you who don't know what the G and D series are, those are usually your premium machines. They run on solid state drives. They cost a lot more money. They are, when I say they cost a lot more money, it's what you pay for what you get. Two or three tier configurations. So if you run your machine all on one environment, you do not need premium disk. If you're running your machine split into two or three tiers, you do need premium disk. Now, I want to put a little proviso on that. This is what SAP and Microsoft recommends for a production environment. If you put a dev environment on premium disk, you're paying for something that you're never, ever, ever going to use. Maybe for a test environment that you turn on when you need to do some performance testing, but other than that, I have not created a machine where I use premium disk for a test or a dev environment. It is supported, albeit they don't support it for production use. High availability is supported via the Windows Server Failover Cluster with replication for non-shared storage. For more information on that, please go to that KB article. It's a lot of detail. I don't want to go through it on here. If anyone has got any questions about that, please feel free to ask. I don't want to say it's very complicated. It is semi-complicated. If you haven't done a failover cluster or a on-premise high availability system, get someone that has done it, because there is a couple of caveats in there that you're just going to fall over on. We've done it at a couple of sites now as a test. It works really well. There's nothing wrong with it. I find it a little bit redundant, but you know, if a customer gets what a customer wants. You can also follow that SAP note that I've posted on there. There's lots of information on there. It's been co-written with Cameron and a few other very smart guys. So yeah, please go have a look at that if you're interested in that. Sorry, guys. A couple of notes I got sent through from Cameron as well about this is the configurations that I support, SAP NetWeaver 2 tiers, SAP and DBMS in one VM, and a 3-tier configuration, dedicated DBMS VM, and scale out SAP application layer in multiple VMs. Okay, so what basically means by the three tier, for those of you who are SAP people, you can put your message server, do the failover cluster on your message server, have your database on one system, do mirroring on your database and everything else, and you can start up as many VMs for your application server as you require. I've got a slide about a hybrid system, which I'll get to a little bit later, but there is... what you cannot do with the hybrid system at this point in time is have your application servers, for instance, on-premise and your database in the cloud, or the other way around. We've tried it. We've tried it with some of the new hardware that SAP has gone. We tried with SQL 2016 as well. We've had some data loss, so it's definitely not recommended, and it's not supported. So don't try it. It's not going to work. What I mean by hybrid is splits, like you've got your ECC system or your BI system split from each other. It is supported. There needs to be a business case for that to do that in any case, but it is supported and it does work and everything is fine with it. You can have your dev test in the cloud and you can have your production system on premise. It is supported, it's well done, the transports work really well, there's no issues, I haven't had really high latencies or anything like that. Demo and training or sandbox systems do run in an Azure only scenario. All your environments, if you do create them in Azure, all your environments has to be inside the same region. You cannot put your app servers in Australia and your database servers in the US. You have to pick a region and stick with that region and put all your services on that region. And I would actually go as far as saying to stick all your, if you're going to do dev and test in Azure, stick your dev and test on the same region, Australia or the US or China, wherever you want to put it. You do need a premium support contract to have production support for Azure. I checked the last time, can't remember the prices, but it does fluctuate from customer to customer and your agreements that each customer has with Microsoft. And you obviously need a SAP support contract, which goes without saying. So Azure only scenario, that's where you connect through the internet. Okay, so communications are open for internet interpretation. It's as secure as you make your internet connection or not make your internet connection. And the VMs are not part of your on-premise domain or network whatsoever. Every scenario that we've done this, and we have done a few of these, where customers wanted to try a new product, Fiori, Personas, et cetera, you need to be careful. This is the internet, so everyone can see it, everyone can have access to it, so be careful with it, make sure you lock everything down, make sure you close all the endpoints that you don't need, and also make very sure that you've got very good password policies on your SAP machines, which sadly most people, they do not really have very good password policies. It's not supported for production, only training and demo systems. So on an Azure hybrid scenario, we use either communication through VPN tunnel or express route. A couple of companies in Auckland, in New Zealand, provide express route. Cordia does, what are they called now? Spark does. There's a couple of other, Pure IP I think also does. I'm not 100% sure on what their prices are, but they all provide you express route. It is pretty quick. I know that Cordia provides a 100 meg link, so it is really quick and it works really, really well. You've got on-premise AD DNS extended into Azure. A few of our customers have got a mixture of the AD and DNS sitting in the cloud, on Amazon, and on-premise, and it works fine. There's virtually no issue. You do not know if there's a difference on there. On-premise and Azure hosted SaaS systems need to be in the same domain. And, I mean, if you've installed an SAP system before, you realize that it's kind of handy to have them in the same domain. So the communications, like I said before, the communication between your SAP systems and Azure and your on-premise systems, if it's on Amazon, if it's on some private cloud, it doesn't matter. As long as it goes through your current network on your system, it's supported, it works really well, and we've had no issues so far. Quick picture of how, of one of the scenarios that we put in quite a bit. So has anyone heard of the Azure Blob Storage method? So SQL Server has got a method where you can have, for those of you who are Oracle people, raw disks attached to your SQL Server. So you can actually use the blob storage in SQL Server to store all your data in. And that's exactly what this one, that this picture depicts. It doesn't matter, you can use premium disks or, well, the blob storage can be premium disks. You can use the disks as you normally do, mount a disk, et cetera, et cetera. But the blob storage option is definitely there. So Azure offers geo-replication, which replicates VHDs from one region to the other. Failovers cannot be initialized by customers. This is something that Azure does all on their own. And then also read-only access to replicated files is not applicable for SAP scenario. You can turn on read-only. So basically, Azure replicates and it's the read-only. SAP will not run on it. SAP needs to constantly write to its databases. Problems with the Azure replication. In opposite to SAN, where different LANs can be replicated in an entirely orderly fashion, Azure is not able to synchronize application between different VHDs. And that is why I've got in yellow there is we recommend disabling the geo replication for databases. Actually, it's not just us. It's SAP and Microsoft that says for your databases, do not geo replicate. Got a couple of things that I got sent this morning as a, that I just want to quickly cover off. So Azure now has accelerated networking. So what that means is that all Azure VMs can now talk at plus minus 25 megabits per second. They didn't want to give me too much details on this. It's a little bit of breaking news apparently. But it basically means that no matter where your machine is in the world, you should get about 25 megabits per second. That's what I've been told. For those of you who know what HANA, how HANA works, and I'm sure Shadesh will tell you a little bit, the pushdown for HANA is now supported on 7.5 SPS4, but for SQL Server. So SQL Server 2016 will do pushdown. So what that means is it takes the data, shoves it into memory. Simplest way I can do it. A note for that is just go look for FEMS restriction pushdown. Once you enable that node, you pretty much have pushdown now. One of the other things is that Cameron mentioned to me is that if you don't do Azure, at a minimum, what you should be doing is backing up your machines to the cloud or start looking at doing that. Delta Airlines, I don't know if any of you know about it. On the 12th of August, Delta Airlines had a massive failover, and their backups weren't working because it wasn't redundant and it failed. And there's a big article on a registrar about it, and they basically have come out and said, we should have, could have, would have. So with that, I'll hand you over to Sudesh, and he can tell you all about the lovely things of HANA.
Can you hear me? Yep. All right. Okay. Hi, guys. Hi. So my name is Sudesh, and Logan earlier spoke about SQL 2016 on SAP. We were privileged enough to do that project and become the first in the world and first in New Zealand. We also did a SAP HANA implementation on MS Asia, which was first in New Zealand and second or third in the world. So one of the most questions asked is, what is SAP on HANA? SAP HANA is the most frequently used word in SAP today. Everybody talks about SAP HANA. The definition is there. And what we'd like to make happen with Microsoft is make MS Azure and HANA also the most frequently stated word in the SAP world. So in a SAP HANA world, SAP requirement is for all SAP platforms to go on SAP HANA in 5 to 7 years. That's their target plan. And it is also enables real-time in-memory computing for SAP applications. SQL 2016 has their own in-memory application, but SAP HANA would bring it to another level. We'll talk about that soon. So HANA is a combination of software and hardware. What this means is, in the usual database world, SQL, Oracle, DB2, MaxDB, all you need is an empty VM. You can download the database and install it on the VM, but not in the SAP HANA world. What happens in the SAP HANA world is you have to buy an appliance where SAP HANA is readily built and installed. So hence the word, it's an in-memory computing engine with pre-installed systems hardware. So you buy the appliance with SAP HANA pre-installed. That's how SAP charges you the big bucks. So when we were having this project of migrating SAP BW to MS Azure, it was a GS5 box, we had a few challenges. And some of these challenges is we needed to convince the customer, if you've got a big environment of Windows systems, SAP HANA only runs on Linux. Why do I need a Linux system running on a Windows environment? Those were the few things we had to convince the customer, come up with use case, look at speed and all those types. Then we were also first in New Zealand. So we had pressure from competition because Amazon was the lead in this area. So we needed to win that part of it. Positioning SUSE Linux, like what I spoke earlier, was a challenge because, as I was saying, when you put a Linux system in a Windows environment, we do get questions from the IT team. What you're telling me is Windows and Linux are going to work together. How will that happen? Data movement was also a challenge because we had to move 400 gigs of data in the cloud environment from on-premise to Azure on the cloud. And then comes the standard networky stuffs, DNS, firewalls, and of course testing and optimizing SAP HANA once that is done. So this is better, I think. Yep. Yeah, sorry. Yep. So you can see the portal where SAP HANA, where we set up a GS5 system. SAP HANA, as far as Azure is concerned, it's supported on the GS5 system. When you go in and you provision, you can select your GS5 box. At the moment, that is supported for BW and for ECC. So you can take it all the way to S4HANA. So that's what it, how it looks. And we needed to allocate the right type of disks. It was only using the IOPS 20 disks because it was similar to a solid state drive. Now, these disks are important because if you choose the wrong type of disks for your HANA system, you won't actually see the full results of the speed test and what HANA can do. So as you can see, I'm just showing you how the Linux box looks like. We need to do partitions. We needed to do on the second screen here, that is the HANA Studio. So the HANA Studio works similar to a MaxDB system, if you all have experience with MaxDB. So think of it as a SQL Management Studio GUI or an Oracle NG GUI. So that's where you manage the system and you do backups. That's a separate client which you need to install separately. Very important, before you do any HANA migration, your prerequisites needs to be matched to the limit. If you miss any prerequisites, your migration will not happen. You will have problems because it'll read the data differently. Okay? As you can see a screen where we use the Software Provisioning Manager, which is the tool for the provision, it enables the actual migration to happen. Now you can see the SAP HANA build and install. This took some time to happen, but I'm just showing you all the last screen. We had to go through lots of challenges because we had errors, data, there was a bunch of customizing. Yep, so there was a few errors occurring in terms of data was not actually complete because we had customizing, which the developers customized specifically for their environment. So at that time, when you get that type of error, you have to fix it on the fly. So those are the few challenges we had, which can happen to any organizations. And this got nothing to do with MS Azure. It's the way the application was handled. So as you can see, that's how the cloud architecture was. We had the ECC system on-premise, and we had the BW box, which was cloned to the Azure cloud. So the ECC system was running on SQL 2014, and we had a HANA box on Azure, which was running BW. As you can see, via the logon pad, we could log in to both systems quite easily, and we made both the system talk to run the process chains. So now the results will come shortly. Post BW, what actually happened post BW? DB size reduced by 50%. The moment the migration happened, DB size reduced drastically by 50%. For BW, compression is 50%. For ECC, compression is 30%, just to give you all a gauge. Most importantly, post BW on HANA speed test. As you can see, data loads is a process of where reporting from ECC goes into BW, and the data is mined and reports are created. That process reduced from 300 minutes, and we expect it to go down to as low as 40 minutes. Of course, it had its own junctures. We've got a pre-HANA, a HANA migration, a basic optimization, and full optimizations. Queries on its own, we had it going from 80 seconds, and we're trying to hit 20 seconds. So there are steps to do. Of course, your immediate results will be the one in the first bar, where immediately you can actually see the results. Then comes transactions. Transactions, we could not get a major change because BW is not a transactional-based system. It's just reporting. So you can't actually do a comparison, but that's fine. We just wanted to show it, to show you all how it works on the MS Azure platform. Key points to take away, if ever you all are doing this, either with your partners or anyone else, work closely with the customer. Because as I mentioned earlier, the customer needs to know what is the benefit of SAP HANA and why are you giving me a Linux box when I've got a Windows environment. We had to go through the SAP install guides in and out because it was a first-time process and we wanted to make sure that it's all good and working well. Prerequisites are also very important and it needs to be met. Network platforms, setups, that we work closely with our customers and the Microsoft team. Always use SAP-certified tools and SAP-certified partners and never give up because for
It took us 5 to 7 days, and it was lots of late nights. So this happens in a general migration environment. Where do we want to go from here? What do we want to do? Our next project, which we'll be working with our customer, is to take Azure all the way to S4HANA. We are going to install S4HANA on Azure, and we are going to make it happen. And the next project, we are sort of working with Microsoft is to see if the SAP HANA box can actually be certified to run on Windows platforms. So that'll be the plan of the future. We haven't started, but we are in discussions. So that basically concludes how we have moved SQL 2016 and how we have moved a SAP BW system to SAP HANA. Two databases running concurrently in Azure, and at the moment, it's getting better every day with speed and all. So if you've got any questions, feel free to ask us now. We are available. If not, we can meet at the hub. No questions. That means everybody understands. Yeah. Just click a few buttons. It's not an MSI though, but it's just a guide. But yeah, if you all have time, log in to Azure if you've got an account, and you all can see all the machines, the GS5 machines, the A5 machines, and they'll give you a gauge on how we move from there.
Oh, for those of you who don't know that SAP and Microsoft have signed a deal, I'm not sure when it's released, all I know is it's sometime very soon in the next few months, they're doing SAP HANA appliances in Azure. That's you physically buy an appliance from Azure. I don't know have any dates on it. I've just been told that it is coming because it's one of the questions that we've asked one or two times. In Sudesh's example, as for what they did is they've actually put the app server, the message server, and the database all on one Linux machine. It's not a requirement. You can have Windows machines apps as app servers and as a message server. It's just the database side. When it's a HANA database, it has to be on the Linux version, which is both SUSE and Red Hat, although we've selected SUSE because it's the most used one for it.
Yeah, thanks for your time, guys. Yeah.